Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, John G. Kruth joins us to discuss psychokinesis, but before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Nona, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well, very well. Excited about tonight's topic, for sure. But before we get started with that, can you please share with us what it is that you do at Psychic Access?
I do readings. I don't know. Oh. What a shock. That's right.
You said before that you don't use tools of any sort, no tarot cards. It's purely without tools that you work. Oh, that's very interesting.
This is true. Oh.
So would you consider yourself then like a medium, for example?
Actually, yes, but that's very recent. For some reason, I started seeing people who had crossed over, which kind of surprised me because I've been doing readings for probably since 1987, and I've never seen people crossed over before, so that's a kind of a new talent, and they yell at me when I don't pass on their messages, so now I'm doing
that. Wow, so. That sounds like a major sort of evolutionary point in your development.
It was. You know. Who would have thought after so long that would happen? Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you very much for joining us, everybody. You can find Nona at PsychicAccess.com. Hello, Steve. How are you doing this evening?
Very well. Thank you, Stephen. Very well.
Ah, so happy to hear that. Can you please share with us what it is that you do over at PsychicAccess.com, please?
I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. And as Nona said, mediumship involves communicating with people that have transitioned from the earth plane to spirit, and I very much enjoy using astrology to provide insight to people about themselves and the energies in future, what's most likely if they don't change their paths, etc. So it's a lot of fun.
That's a very potent combination of talents there, astrology and psychic mediumship. And you can find Steve at PsychicAccess.com so he can put those talents to work for you. Maureen, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Stephen. Very well.
I'm so happy to hear that, and I'm extremely excited about your show topic tonight.
Me too. It's a very everything. I'm looking forward to meeting John. It's so important. The Ryan Institute has been so instrumental in the 80s of my life. So, special place in my heart. Yeah.
This has a very deep personal import for you, doesn't it, Maureen?
Absolutely, it does. It really does. Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely excited to hear what you have in store for us. Can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Kruth?
Yes. John G. Kruth is the executive director of the Ryan Research Center in Durham, North Carolina. And he created the Ryan Educational Center for Professional Education in Parapsychology. He is also a parapsychologist who is particularly interested in the art of energetic healing and out-of-body experiences. John has been a researcher at the Ryan Institute since 2009 and the executive director since 2011. He has had a long, lifelong interest in the scientific studies of ESP and paranormal phenomena, and is one of the rare people in the world who can truly say that he is living his dream. Bless his heart. I love that. John, are you with us?
Yes, Maureen, and I am living my dream.
And I love that. I mean, we should all be living in our authentic self and living that what we are doing. The work is that our dream. But if we all did the work we're to do, isn't that the dream of it all? Really, it's so nice to meet you.
When your personal interests start to match up with your work life, everything seems to fall into place. Maureen, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate you inviting me here tonight.
I really appreciate you coming on. And like I said, the Ryan Institute for me has been, you know, like I didn't know what it was until the 80s. And by accident, I came across a book that really helped me at the time, because I was having this, what I didn't know at the time were called PK, psychokinetic. I was crazy. I was a crazy woman. But here I am. I'm doing the work I do professionally, and that was the beginning of the journey was rough, but Ryan, it just holds a lovely place in my heart, and I've been seeing it grow and grow, you know. And like what you know, you're the founder of the educational. Now it's the It's the educational center.
The Ryan Education Center. It's an online school that we started back in 2011. And mainly, you know, Maureen, one of the reasons that I thought that it was important to start this school is because for years I had an interest in parapsychology. I had an interest in the science of parapsychology, and I didn't know where to go to get information about it. I could read journals, and I could find things on the internet, but it was very difficult to find any academic courses that were related to the science of parapsychology. And as I knew, being a person who had a job and was working, I knew that there was no way I could just stop my schedule and start going back to a university. And so I thought the Ryan Education Center should be something for people who have an interest, who maybe have a job already, maybe who are already busy, can tune in and be part of classes, academic and professional classes, not by parapsychologists, PhDs, other people who have been doing experiments in the field, and really learn about the science of the field, and do it in the time that's convenient for them. So we started this back in 2011, and the courses are going strong.
Right, and you know, I'm sorry, John, I wasn't hearing you all that well, but it's just probably, it's not my hearing, okay? But I understand what you're saying, and I think it's fantastic. So anybody, anywhere in the United States or globally can benefit from this, what you created, correct?
Yes, there are online courses, and we do have weekly broadcasts for the classes. They're live broadcasts, and people can tune in for the live broadcasts from anywhere in the world. We've have had students from all over the United States, from Canada, from South America, France, Italy, Africa.
Wow.
We've had people from all over the world join us for our classes, because not only are they presented live, but we record them so that they can tune in later and watch them if they can do it.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, well, John, I want to do mind over matter, psychokinetic. I call it psychokinetic because that's how I know psychokinesis, but
yeah.
They call it, but some people say telekinesis, but I do want to address a lot of things because there's so much, because everything's so cool that is going on, really. But, you know, could you give us, you know, maybe a little bit of the history? A lot of people don't know, as I do, and I do believe that that everybody would like to know all things Ryan, like you said, the history, though, you know, what started way back, you know?
Sure. The Ryan Research Center is the oldest operating parapsychology lab in the country. It started back in 1935. J.B. Ryan, who was the founder of the labs, traveled to Duke University. And he was a professor at Duke University in their psychology department. J.B. was interested in studying mediums. He wanted to know, there was a big phenomenon at the turn of the 20th century around mediumship. We're talking about people who say that they can speak to spirits. Well, at that time, mediumship was a very different thing than it is today. Back then, it was kind of a Friday night entertainment for people. They would go to a place where a medium was holding their seances in their house,
would be a dark room. There might be a candle lit, but usually it was a very dark room.
Faces would appear out of nowhere. Horns would trumpet. And there would be all types of phenomena. It was more entertainment than anything else. But there were some mediums that actually were able to get information that they probably shouldn't have known. And J.B. Ryan wondered, how could they get this information? How could they possibly know these things? Are they truly speaking to spirits? Well, he contacted this man named William McDougall, who was a new head of the psychology department at Duke University, which was a brand new university at that time. He said, I'd like to study this in an academic environment. And, yes?
You know, John, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was wondering, I'm having a hard time hearing you, and I don't know if it's, not that I'm saying, if your microphone, are you on a headset? Is your mouth?
Cause I have a microphone, yes.
There it is. You're perfect sounding. And I know.
Okay.
I'm like, wait, he's moving away from me again. I know I do that too because I move around. I'm sorry.
Okay, if you're hearing me better now, that's all the better.
Absolutely, yes. That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go on.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, J.B. Ryan ended up coming to Duke University, and his goal was to study mediums.
To learn more about mediums and how they were getting this information that they probably shouldn't be able to get. Now, as he started to think about it, he said, well, before I can really know if these mediums are speaking to spirits to get this information, I have to know what the limits of their vulnerable human abilities are. So can they, example, Maureen, I came to you as a medium, and you told me all about my Uncle Jake who passed away a couple years ago. Are you getting that information because Uncle Jake's whispering in your ear and telling you secrets? Or maybe you're getting that information from me.
John?
Yes?
There. I can hear you better now when you said yes. I don't know if it's something going on between us two, but I started losing you again.
I'll change my microphone if you want.
I mean, you sound so clear right now, and I know that sometimes the thing I just want to bring up because I want to make sure people can hear, but it's so clear, and then it's like then you move it moves away, and then I can't hear you.
Oh, so, it sounds like there might be some noise cancellation going on.
It's always something like this technology, but I mean, you sound perfectly clear right now, and then when you start speaking all about the meat of this, then it seems to fade a little bit. So I'm just bringing this up. You can hear me fine, right? Yeah,
I hear you great. Yeah,
maybe. How about this? You know, let's try this because it might be a technical thing with Skype. Can we call you right back in right now if you hang up? And I think
that would be great because I'll change my microphone as well. I think it might work better.
Great. Thank you. I'm sorry, John, but I think that'll be fantastic. So if you hang up now, it'll be called right back in. Thank goodness. So we'll see you in just a second. We'll hear you. Thanks, John. Okay, so we'll be calling John back in, and I know that it will all just be perfect. And everybody can hear because it's so cool. So he'll be with us in just a moment because we've got lots of cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I didn't realize he was in Durham, North Carolina. You know, that's like a hop, skip, and a jump away from me.
I know. I thought about that. I think that maybe it will all take is to have – you sound clear. You know, this technology –
oh, that would be great.
Are doing this.
Is this working okay?
You know, Duke University is close by there, and they have a long, celebrated history of parapsychology. Yeah, they actually have a parapsychology department. Yeah,
that started in the 40s and 30s. I mean, these people were way, J.B. Ryan, were way ahead of their time. John, are you back with us?
I'm back.
Yay. Well, then maybe this will just be – the technical gods will just leave us alone.
Well, I know. I told you we do online classes with the online school.
Okay, so I'm sorry about that, but I guess I'm sorry for everything. It's always about me. I control it. You know, it's all my personal power. I'm funny. Yeah, it's all my doing, everybody. Okay, I'm so strong and powerful. John, I was just discussing with one of my co-hosts, there's four of us all together, about how during the time that JB and Louisa, you know, it was the 30s. This was outrageous during that time at Duke University that they're the father. They coined the name of parapsychology. Isn't that so? I mean, that was...
Well, yes, J.P. Ryan, he didn't actually coin the term. It was an old term that was used back in the 1800s. But he repurposed it and named the science parapsychology. And he made it really popular. He also wrote a book in 1935 called Extrasensory Perception. And made that term a household name. No one knew that term before, but after J.B. Ryan wrote his book called Extrasensory Perception, he started going on the radio and talking about some of the work they were doing at the labs.
Well, like I said, it was maybe that was the book that I ran across at the library during that time. I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a computer in the 80s. And I found this book. I wasn't looking, and there's this PK. I'm like, this is what the stuff is going on with me. So it was an older book, and it saved my sanity, really. I mean, it still isn't my sound. I didn't know what was going on. So they were really the pioneers. So nobody would – they really – I don't know how it would be in that time period because they were out of Duke University. They were doing controlled studies from inside, weren't they?
Yes, they were the first. Well, they weren't the first, but they were the most popular laboratory in the country that was doing academic studies and very controlled experiments on ESP, extrasensory perception. And they're doing it in a controlled way in academic and scientific environments. This was what was so different about the labs back in 1935 when they founded them. And the labs stayed at Duke University, and they continued to study there were three areas that they started out studying. One is telepathy, mind-to-mind communication. Mm-hmm. The second is clairvoyance, getting information about something's hidden, like if something is in an envelope or in another room or another part of the world, and getting information. Now they call it remote viewing. And the third area that they were originally studying was precognition, getting information through time, being able to tell something about the future. So originally they studied those three areas, which they called ESP, and they used ESP cards, or what we call Zener cards,
right?
Which you might have seen. They have like the circle, the square, the wavy lines,
The Zener cards are pretty popular. I know them. They're very popular. That's where they, wasn't it with the man he was working with that created those? Somebody?
Yes, there's a man named Carl Zener.
Right.
And that's why we call them Zener cards. He created them not actually to study ESP, but they worked very well to study ESP. So they used these cards to study these three phenomena for quite a few years. And one day, the story goes that J.B. Ryan was in the laboratory, and this man came in. They were very popular. People were coming in from all over the country because it was the only place that people were studying ESP.
Right.
This man came into the lab, and he said, I'm from Las Vegas, and I can control dice.
Right.
And J.B. Ryan said, well, we do things with the cards. We don't really do anything with dice. He said, no, 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 really, I can control dice. He said, well, show me. And so they rolled some dice, and the man was getting the numbers that he wanted to get. This is where the beginning of his studies into psychokinesis began. This is when J.B. Ryan tried to see, can people, through some mental means, control physical objects? And he started out by trying to determine whether he controlled dice rolls or not.
Right. That's when I read that. I remember reading about that, the guy, the dice controlling, and that was the and that's when I go, aha, that makes sense of what's going on. If it's a controlled, I wasn't not controlling anything properly. it was awful. I mean, I thought the demons of demons were coming down on me. And I never, and this was just brand new, but this is what opened me up to what I'm doing today. And no, a lot of people don't know that about me. It was and that's when I read about the dice. So you could focus on something in the dice, you could focus on your dice coming up at the same. So that was a very successful study, wasn't it, with the dice? Wasn't that pretty successful?
Yes, all of the different phenomena that I just mentioned, telekinesis, psychokinesis, clairvoyance, precognition and telepathy, they found that there was statistical evidence that this was happening throughout society.
Right.
All of their experiments demonstrated that even though there was a small effect, it was very statistically significant, and there was something going on that was beyond chance. So they continued these studies for a number of years and started to refine some of their experiments. For example, originally they had people handling the dice and throwing them themselves. They started to have them use cups to make it so they weren't actually holding the dice. And then finally, they created what they call an automatic dice rolling machine, which was a little motorized mechanism that would spin around and it would roll the dice by itself. So the person was not involved with it at all. This was in order to refine the mechanisms to take out any chance that there might be cheating, whether it's purposeful or not, going on.
Right.
And they still found that there was an effect.
Yeah, you know, they've changed some of the procedures from the 30s or the 40s to other types of... There's still psychokinetic studies going on right now where...
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah, it has to do with when you're in an emotional state of loss and such like that. I think that's what my stuff was happening. There's different times of, or they think that there's certain personalities that can, it happens or whatever, but they do use different types. I mean, I know about that machine that you just spoke about because I remember reading about that. And nowadays, what do they do with their... do they have the studies like that going? I'm using the dice as an example, I guess, but I guess what I'm asking is for psychokinetics, and I read that Sally, Dr. Feather is doing where she wants people to talk about any experiences they've had. Are you guys still doing studies on PK of seeing people actually under controlled studies trying to do this? Or is that...
Oh yes. The studies have definitely evolved in about 80 years since the Rhine was originally opened back in the 30s. They've evolved a great deal, and they've changed quite a bit. And Maureen, you keep alluding to your personal experiences, and I'm very intrigued and interested because I was talking about people purposely trying to control dice to make them come up a certain way, but there's also what we call RSPK, which is recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis.
Yes.
It's unintentional.
Yeah.
It's when people have certain activities, maybe certain emotions or certain activities in their life that cause things to move around them, and it's not happening on purpose. They're not doing it on purpose.
Right.
It may be unconscious. And so we do studies of this because it's not as rare as you might think it is. But I'm interested, is this type of experience you were having?
Oh, it was, it was a time, when I reflect back, yes, exactly. But I was, this stuff had been going on all my life, and then I started self-medicating at a very young age because I figured out later why. Because then if something was moving or something, things weren't flying all over the air, right? But when things would move, I could just blame it on, I had something in my system that was making me see these things that weren't really happening. I think that happens to a lot of people, that are sensitive, and I didn't have a family that embraced it very well, what was going on, But what was happening is with me, I think it was like a big opening of the work that I have been doing for 25 years professionally is now. But the PK stuff was, I was taping, the table was moving. I mean, not like spinning, but it would move. things were falling down all the time, but the chairs, things would spin. And one time, so I was taping, taping things in, I was self-medicating. I suddenly just stopped. I didn't mean for anything. I stopped doing everything. It was just like, I was just enhanced, but I was scared too. I was very scared of what was going on. And I had a roommate anytime. It wasn't certain things I was trying to figure out, but there was one thing I read in that book. They were trying to figure out if there's ESP connected with with PK. And there's a very, they don't know. I remember reading that. And so is that true? My understanding was they were trying to figure out, when I was reading that book, if there was a they're trying to figure out if there's a connection between the ESP with the psychokinetic. Like when someone dies, you know, you hear about a clock stopping or something, for instance.
Yes.
That could be some form of, you know, an ESP with a clock stopping when it's time someone dies, correct? Is that my understanding correct?
That's one of the things that we would probably consider psychokinesis.
Right.
ESP is what we consider ESP is something that is perceptive. For example, mind-to-mind communication, right? Communication or perceiving information through time or getting information viewing something from a distance. It's all related to perception.
Right.
Whereas psychokinesis is more of an active process. It's not a perceptive process, but it's actually active, where it seems that a person is actually having an effect on the external world. So that's the difference between them. Some people have abilities in both areas. Some people it naturally expresses itself as their ESP might express itself in an active way.
Mm-hmm.
But they are different phenomena in the way that we study them. But it is interesting what you're describing, because, and you know, the one thing that I'm picking up is something that I find all the time. I've met other people who have had these types of experiences, and it scares them.
Yeah.
It really upsets them. They don't know why these things are moving or why things might be happening around them. And one of the things that I've been, you asked about current or more recent research, one of the things that I've been focusing on is how can we help people who have these types of experiences? How can we help to calm them down and relax them so that these things don't happen, or at least to get used to them to the point that they're comfortable? You know, one of the things that we've been doing at the Rhine, you know, it is a research laboratory. And we do have current research projects going on in the field of parapsychology. But one of the other things we do is we try to create a community. There are people all over the country and all over the world who are having experiences like this. Mm-hmm. And it scares them. A lot of times they don't have anyone to talk to. If they do speak to someone about it, they either think they're crazy or they get feedback saying, you know, the devil's in you or something like things of this nature. And they don't feel like they have any words that they can safely speak about these things. At the Rhine, we try to provide that community. We try to provide that environment so people can share their experiences and learn more about the science behind it, learn what we're doing, and learn how much of their experiences are actually supported by scientific research. And PK has been supported by scientific research. More than just life.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I was raised Catholic, and I was thinking, okay, the demons and devils are rearing their heads. But, you know, it was, like I said, just one book I happened to run across. I didn't know what I was looking for, and that's why I hold such a just a lovely place in my heart for the Rhine. I just do, and it will always be there, because it just from reading PK something, it's like, wow, this is it. And I wish, you know, at that time, you're talking about having a community. That's so important when things like that are going on with people. It was my journey, whatever the situation was. I did later go to UCLA during that time period. They were doing some, you know, controlled study, and I did do some things up there, and I felt better. But when I reflect back, I was sick too. I was extremely ill from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it felt like so much peace. I had so much peace when I read this book. There was actually something that this I could name it or whatever. I kind of miss the days, but I do like doing the control things, like Nina and the Russian woman. She's a great example.
Nina Kaluganov. Yes.
Kulajira.
Yes.
Oh my God. I mean, and so, you know, we all can do this, everybody listening. I mean, we all can. You take matchsticks or something and try to move. You know, our minds are so powerful. But there's different times where emotionally, I don't know. You know, like you said, there's different research that goes on. But we all, like, you know, when I walk lights, my light bulbs don't work very well in my homes. They usually blow up, you know, blow out.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I don't feel that it's poltergeist stuff, too, because there's that's another thing that could be part of it, correct? Sometimes?
Well, you know, when you say poltergeist, it's, you know, and it's funny, you know, Maureen, when you talk about psychokinesis, a lot of people get these impressions of, like, Carrie, you know, or some of the movies that they've seen where they might see the movie Poltergeist, and you think, see objects flying all over the place and large objects being moved, you know. This is not the way that we see psychokinesis working.
Exactly.
Typically, like you said, some people do move things as matchbooks or matchsticks and, you know, small little objects of this nature. But we typically don't see large objects moving on purpose.
Right.
Now, occasionally, what we do call poltergeist activity. Poltergeist was originally thought to be the activity of a ghost or a spirit, moving things around and throwing them around. This is where the name came from. Poltergeist in German means noisy ghost or loud ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But as the studies went on, and starting in, especially in the 1950s, there was a man named William Rohl who began investigating a lot of activity that was considered poltergeist activity. And what they found is that typically, when they found these activities, there was one person who was always present when things started moving.
Yeah.
And this is where the term RSPK, or recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. Psychokinesis that happens over and over again in a very spontaneous way. It's unintentional. And he found that in many situations, there was someone, oftentimes it was someone who was under a lot of anxiety or stress.
Right.
In many cases, it was a younger person, someone who was in their teenage years, but not every case. And what they found is this type of person was typically in the middle of all of the activity. They started calling this person a poltergeist agent. And this is the type of thing that really is disturbing to people. If they are the poltergeist agent and things are happening, they don't know why, because they're not doing it on purpose.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out how it's happening and why it's happening. And so this for over the years has involved, I mean, and poltergeist agents have moved things as large as, like, the telephone will fly across the room.
Right.
Dishes will fall off the shelves. They had one case in Miami where it was they were in Miami in the 70s, and it was a factory, a big warehouse that had a whole bunch of little touristy statues and ashtrays and things that they used to give away to tourists out of Miami. And things were falling off the shelves and breaking all the time. And they found that there was a young man who was there, who was working at the factory, and it was always around him that these things were moving. And they seemed to jump off the shelves when no one was near them.
It's like...
So,
It's like I didn't sign up for that was happening too with me, but that was happening when I was a younger child. There were six kids in our family, and that's why I became, I self-medicated. I went in the direction of and at a young age I could not handle this, because they were witnessing things and they were just like, oh, you're just kind of weird, you know, like, but I'm not caring. But little things would fall down, you know, I didn't know why, but usually when I was younger, before I was even 10, it would happen. So I wanted to stop that all. But it came back.
And so many people, they really want to be able to do PK. And then there's other people that it happens around them, and they really want it to stop. And there's very little information available for people to help with these situations. There are very few psychologists or counselors in the country who are able to speak intelligently on these topics.
Right.
And this is one of the things that I've been trying to pursue myself in research in parapsychology. How can we help people who have these sorts of experiences? And
so,
one of the things that we've been looking at is to teach them to meditate.
Yeah.
Help them to relax. Because often it's anxiety that brings on these types of events.
And that's
for simple meditation, it can help.
And that is very true. And that's exactly what I was all about. I know that I'm always very honest about my stuff. I'm really honest. I was a mess and all over the place. And I agree with that. And now that I'm, you know, 30 years older, things aren't as you know, eventful. But I utilize the tarot cards, and it's interesting because I got into that. I'm self-taught, but I started thinking maybe because of the movement of the tarot will just fall into place. It's not like I read them like mm-hmm. like I read out from a book. I feel that PK might be part of that too. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I do. I do follow you because, you know, one of the things when you think about the different types of psychic abilities, if someone has an ability to use telepathy, maybe use precognition, people use different tools to do this. You know, there are, you know, you always have this image of a psychic with a crystal ball. Well, what is the crystal ball? The crystal ball is just a tool to enable them to access this part of themselves, to enable them to listen to these subtle signals that they're getting so that they feel comfortable expressing them. And tarot may be a similar type of tool for you, where it may allow you to access these parts of yourself. And through some type of psychokinesis or even unconscious movement, cards move into the position that is appropriate to express what you're perceiving.
Exactly right. That's. I'm not saying I'm one of those people. I don't say I believe in anything. All I know is what I know, and so it's almost like in a way, I do look at it in that way that maybe unconsciously, whatever the way it's happening, I came to that, and I came to grips with that, and I was okay anyway. But you know, I'm really glad we're talking about this because anytime people out there are having these experiences, they can go to. You're on the at the end of the interview. I'm going to talk about the website. Website address, I guess, and also on your guest page, it's there. But people, it's like you said, there's a community of people that if you're having these experiences, not just PK, but there's a community, you can get involved. That it's something that's such a great resource there. And what you're doing is, it sounds like you created something even more so in addition, right? I mean...
Originally the Rhine was completely research oriented. It was completely scientific and academically oriented. And I can't take credit for developing the community.
Right.
The community has developed over its own for years and years, that people started writing in letters, asking questions, and wondering, they would send their experiences to the Rhine, and people would respond to them and try to help them. People call us. And, you know, we try to help them and answer questions for them. We don't do a lot of experiments many people call us and say, oh, can you prove that we're psychic? No, we don't do that sort of thing. We don't certify people as being psychic or not. And oftentimes, when we have experiments, we do advertise and ask people to be part of them. But we have many people who, and so that's the experimental aspect, but we have many people who call who just really want to know what's going on and want to understand it better. So on our website, we have a place that you can contact the Rhine and submit a form that will talk a little bit about your experience. And we have different researchers at the Rhine, including Sally Rhine-Feather, who I think you mentioned a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's J.B. Rhine's daughter, who is following in the footsteps of her mother, Eliza Rhine, and gathering this information and trying to understand more about what these experiences are like. We literally have phone calls and emails coming in every week, and it's been going on for 80 years. So there's a lot of different information that has come through the Rhine, and we try to match that up with the research that's going on in the field to give people some feeling of comfort that they're not alone.
Yeah.
Other people are having these experiences also. And here's some things that we found that may be useful. So this is the community that we've tried to develop.
It doesn't get any better than that to have something like that available. You know, John, we're going to take a short commercial break from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with John and Crute and myself and everybody listening. So one moment, please.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back. And we're back with this. I just love John being our guest here, and I just love the Rhine Institute, and I love the fact that you actually created, in addition to, you know, I know that you're not the founder, we know that, but you created something even that additionally just adds to it. John, I wanted to ask you, there was something you'd sent me a couple things, and it was fascinating because I've done a Gansfield, I never can pronounce it right, Gansfield experience. I've done that before.
The God's Fault experience, yes.
I did that years ago. I was doing a paranormal. I have some paranormal friends, pals that are, you know, investigators, and that was pretty interesting. I had no clue what it was when I first heard about it. So that's become. I'd never heard about it. Has that been around a long time?
Well, the God's Fault actually was beginning to be developed in the early 70s. And it became a full-fledged, very regularly used experimental process in the 1980s. So it's been around for over 30, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gansfeld is a very interesting procedure because what it grew out of a study that was done in New York in the 1960s on dream research. They were trying to determine whether people were more psychic when they were dreaming, when they were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did is they had people who would, they would come into a lab, they would sleep for the night, and then they had somebody else that was there who was looking at a picture and trying to send information to the person who was sleeping. And after they were dreaming for a while, they'd wake them up and say, what were you dreaming about? And they'd try to see if there was any match between what they were dreaming about and the information that they were trying to send in. Well, what they found is that people were seeming to get a lot more hints than they would expect. They were getting information in their dreams. And it wasn't just, oh, you know, but for example, if someone was looking at a picture of the Grand Canyon, the person dreaming wouldn't get to see a picture of the Grand Canyon. They'd actually feel like they were in the Grand Canyon, that they were on a little burrow going down. They feel it was really hot. They could smell everything. It was, you know, they felt like they were part of this full scene. Well, this immersion is what seemed to be best when they were getting their ESP. It's when they did the best on their ESP test, when they got full immersion. So they wanted to reproduce this because when you do these dream tests, it takes a long time. If someone goes to sleep for the night and they wake up and they don't have any dreams or you don't get any hits, you got to wait a whole other day before you do it. And so they wanted to find a way to do it more quickly. So they invented this Gansfeld procedure. And the Gansfeld procedure, what we do is we take two people and we put them in separate rooms. And the rooms are electronically shielded. There's a shielded for sounds. And one of the people, we put in a very comfortable chair, nice lounge chair. It's very soft and relaxing. We put headphones on them and give them pink noise, which is similar to white noise. It sounds kind of like waves. Put half ping pong balls on their eyes and then shine a red light on the ping pong ball. If you've ever been outside in the summertime in the sunlight, you close your eyes, you know it's a little bit red. Well, you get the same impression in the Gansfeld room, whether your eyes are open or closed. So we have them in this quiet room with white noise or pink noise going through their headphones. Their visual field is consistently a red color. And we play some relaxation technique, put them through a relaxation technique, help them to get into a bit of an altered state of consciousness. Once they've reached that state, we say, okay, now just start talking, whatever comes to mind, stream of consciousness. Meanwhile, in another room, another isolated room, we have another person who's looking at videos, or a single video over and over again, It's about 45 seconds long, and they're trying to send information about that video to the person in the other room. So we have a sender trying to send video information to the person in the other room who's isolated and who's just speaking stream of conscious. So at the end of the experiment, once this has gone on for a while, we have a video and we have all the information that this person has provided. We then show them a series of different videos. We show them the target video, which was being sent, and three other videos, which are decoys. And we ask them to pick which one of these might be the video that was being sent to them. Now, when you're talking about one out of four, you're talking one is the correct one. We have three decoys. There's four targets. You would expect them to get it right 25% of the time, one out of four. What they found in doing these experiments is that something about this altered state of consciousness that was being evoked through the Gonsfeld procedure was allowing people to get hits more than 25% of the time, closer to 35% of the time. Now, that's the difference between one out of four and one out of three. This is a huge statistical difference. And it tells that there's something about this Gonsfeld procedure that enables people to hear these subtle signals, to perceive these subtle signals that might be coming from the other person and express their EFT.
Yeah, I found it, it was interesting because, I had the ping pong balls and it was red. It was red light flashing.
Yes.
And it was quite interesting. But I don't think we actually did it in the way that you're talking. I understand what you're saying. It's even more interesting. But I didn't know it came from – I love the fact you said talked about where it actually – why it came to be. And so that's pretty successful, what you're saying with – are you doing any research? Is there any research going on right now with that?
The Gonsfeld, we're not doing any current research in the Gonsfeld, although we do have Gonsfeld rooms and we occasionally use them.
Right.
But our research has gone into other areas now.
I do want to ask you, because this, I just love it. I love the we have a lot of people that are, well, my daughter, for one's in Columbia. She's a Columbia master. She's in neuroscience, and she's in this special brand new program at Columbia that's bringing in science with spirituality, it's time to merging worlds, finally merging worlds. And so I want to ask you about the quantum physics and psi. Because we only have only have like 5 minutes or so left. I'll have you on again. I must.
Well, quantum physics, we should be able to cover that in 5 minutes. It's a very complex topic, but I can say that there's a lot of people who believe that there are certain aspects of quantum physics that help to explain psi or explain ESP. There's two major areas that people talk about. One of them is related to what they call the double slit experiment, and that has to do with light having properties of both a wave and a particle. This is standard physics, and it's been going on for many years that they've known this. And they don't know why light appears to behave as a wave and a particle. But what they do know is that if you don't watch, light will behave like a wave. But as soon as you try to see, hey, I know I'm shooting photons, so where is the photon going? As soon as you try to look at it as a photon, then it starts to behave like a particle. This is an example of what we call the observer effect. This is when the process of actually observing or looking at an event has an effect on the event itself. So light behaves like a wave when you're not looking, but when you are looking, it seems to behave like a particle. So this demonstrates that the conscious act of doing observation, has an effect on reality. And I know you were talking a little bit about psychokinesis and how it might affect the world around you. This may be an additional mechanism to help explain. If we can understand the observer effect, we might be able to understand more about how psychokinesis works as well. Did we cover quantum physics there?
I was on mute. I'm going, wow, that's fascinating, and no one's listening. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
I was listening. I didn't want my breathing. I wanted no, and it's perfectly well said on that. You know, I wanted to ask you if you could, because there's a lot of things I want you to get out. What's important about if. You know, you mentioned, or, you know, you sent me some things. I thank you very much. That would be of interest to, you know, put out there. And some things about any educational, like educational opportunities in parapsychology or current research. Well, we spoke about that a little bit. But anything that's going on that you would like to tell, you know, our listeners about, because we do have a lot of people that listen to our archives later as well. Many, many, many. Or sure. All educational opportunities in parapsychology. I think that's a good one, too. If you could tell us about, or you can just tell us about anything you want.
Oh, well, I could talk to you. Sure, I'll talk about some things. We talked a little bit about the Ryan Education Center, and that's at www.ryaneducationcenter.org. We have a listing of the different courses that we have there, and we have new courses that will be starting up towards the end of September. We have courses that are related to everything from, we have a general introduction to parapsychology. We have courses on investigating apparitions, hauntings, poltergeists, what the correct way to go about this from a scientific perspective. Yeah. We have classes on mediums and precognition, premonition, but we're not teaching people to be psychic here. What we're doing is we're teaching people about the scientific work that's being done. We're trying to bring it into a academic type of environment. There's fun courses. Don't misunderstand me. They aren't dry, boring courses. They're really fun courses. They're interesting topics. And we have usually four quarters every year where we teach courses. Now, besides this, we also have events that we do at the Rhine on a regular basis. And about every other week, we have speakers that come in from different areas that are specialists on different topics. We have parapsychologists who talk about the science, but we also have people who, for example, a few weeks ago, we had two people who say they're energetic healers, and they've been doing this their whole life. And we had a discussion, what's it like to be an energetic healer? What type of processes do you go through? What do you do whenever you're doing your energy healing? And how has it changed you through your life? We've had people come in and talk about near-death experiences, people who they've actually died. Their heart has stopped.
Wow.
And they've had the experience of leaving their body and traveling and then returning to their body and coming back to life. And they talk about their near-death experiences and what it's like and how it's affected them since they've had that experience. So we have speakers come in, and they're in Durham, but we also simulcast it, and it's available on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
We record all of these.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Rhine website, we have what we call a media library, which is videos of all of the past events that we've had at the Rhine. Now, these are open and available. We have some that are open and available to everyone, but we have over 80 events that are available to our members. So if you become a member of the Rhine, you can get access to a lot of information by speakers, people like Russell Targ, who was part of the remote viewing program back in the 1970s, and part of the government's psychic spying program.
Yes, I remember that he was original. Yeah, that I know who you're talking about. Yes, very credible.
We have many different speakers.
Stargate. What was it called? 1972. Was it the 1970s?
There was Stafford Research. There was a Stafford Research Institute, and they were studying remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it continued until through the 1990s, and eventually it was named Project Stargate.
That's it.
That was that was a government psychic spying program.
Right.
That was done. And there are some of the people who were part of that program who were psychic spies working for the intelligence agencies in the United States who have come to the Rhine as well.
So it's like Men Who Talk to Ghosts. I'm sorry. But it was based on the Men Who Talk. It was a little bit about that. I'm not making fun of it. But in fact, remote viewing, I did get certain. Well, I did some work and you know, training in that. But I'm not classifying myself as a remote viewer. And I do feel that that is definitely. Didn't the Russians have that up on us first, so they say? Something was going on there. But.
The Russians were also doing remote viewing. And in fact, I believe there's a book that just came out by one of our colleagues named Ed May that explores remote viewing from the Russian side as well. He's worked with the Russians quite a bit.
It's amazing. And you can't deny the science. I love how you say, you know, like I said, my daughter, she's a, you know, a young girl, but it's interesting. Times are changing. Is the science is coming together with these things that you can't deny that are truth. It's just what it is. So combining the both worlds, or colliding the worlds, or in between worlds. But how exciting is that? You know, you're in a great position of it too, because a lot of people that are scientists are really opening up.
Yes, and a lot of the traditional sciences are still look at things from a very materialistic perspective. But people are starting to recognize, like we were talking a little bit about quantum physics before, it's a big topic. But people in different sciences are starting to realize that this is not a world that exists outside of us. We are part of it. And our consciousness, our beliefs, our activities, I mentioned the observer effect, we have an effect on the world around us.
Collectively,
and we are. And there's also a project called the Global Consciousness Project, which is looking at the activity around the world and how events like 9/11 disaster or the tsunami that hit Japan or even the World Cup soccer tournament draws everyone's attention into one area or to many people around the world. And they're able to use instruments to read this. This project has been going on for a number of years, and they're finding a lot of evidence that we are all connected.
Yep.
We are all one. We're all having an effect. And imagine if people started to realize the effect that we are all having on each other and how your thoughts, how your feelings, and how your actions affect more than just you and the people around you, but have an effect on the whole world. Imagine how people would start to act differently.
Right.
And this is what we're trying to continue to do with our scientific work, is to make people aware that we are all connected.
Yes, that's what it's all about. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to have you back on again. I'll give it some time. I won't bother you. But I'd love to have you come back again so we could, you know, talk about some other things. I really appreciate it. I know everybody else does. And also, the website at Rhine is www.rhine.org. And it's also, you know, on the guest page. You guys can all find it. And thank you so much, John. And have a great evening. And let Sally know I send my well wishes. She's just lovely. She was on many years ago, so and I love the work you guys are
doing. Thank you for having me, Maureen. It's been enjoyable. And next time we do this, we'll have to try to avoid the psychokinetic effects on the Skype system. Yes.
We'll just forget about that and do the other things that we didn't cover.
Right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great night.
Good
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right. You can find out more about John G. Kruth at rhine.org. That's rhine.org. Before we get into the banter, I'd like to take a few moments to make a few announcements. We'd like you to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch last week's show on Spirit Orbs, you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on Psychic Access Talk Radio .com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything from the paranormal to reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. Psychicbloggers.com, a lot of free material there. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. It's an honor working with Dog and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. all the co-hosts here with me on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, we want you to invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Maureen.
I didn't get there quick enough. I wanted to ease my way in there, too. Darn it. Just darn it.
That's fine. You know,
I love it when you do that, Stephen, but I didn't dance with you right to that.
Good things come to those who wait. You know.
I guess I was doing my presentation before the dance. Sorry. Back to you. And I kind of like, oh, okay, I stumbled and fell and then got up. Okay, anyway. So you guys, so gals and girls, and Nona, I really am, my first show, I adore you. You know how I feel about you. I met you. Well, actually, Steve, we have all met. Stephen hasn't, and Doug. But Nona, welcome to our being with us. I just want to say welcome because I hadn't had a chance to do that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I just love it that you're with us. So I'm going to start with you, Nona. What do you think about all this? Because it was a personal. I do pick personal topics or things, but the Ryan Institute is just fantastic. I just always really have a lot of appreciation for what they're doing. So what do you think about, even, you know, we talked about, you know, PK being the main topic, but have you ever had experience? You know, what's the deal? What do you feel about psychokinetic or anything like? You know, that.
Well, I actually love the focus that you kept bringing up about where do people go who have these experiences and don't know what to do with them or even what they are, because they can be quite disturbing and can kind of throw people off balance. And when you talk about self-medicating, yours is by far not the only story of people who have some kind of special talent that sadly, even with science, we don't recognize those talents yet as viable, something we should cultivate even starting in grade school. And so people feel really cuckoo. And then, of course, when you feel cuckoo, those talents often escalate.
Yeah.
And it becomes this horrible cycle of I feel crazy and now I feel even crazier. So I love that you brought that up and that he also responded to that and talked about that it is a skill. I love there's science behind it, so that if you have parents that are going crazy, that their kids can move stuff around,
yeah,
have a place to go, and that it isn't. It can be. I know that ghosts do physical manifestation,
right,
but it is also that people have this kind of psychokinetic ability. I used to blow up light bulbs and stuff would fall off walls. And people would, this is before I was doing really any spiritual work, and I had friends that would no longer hang out with me. They said, just crap just blows up around you all the time.
Yeah, that's scary for other people to be around that.
It is.
You don't even know what's going on, you know.
Exactly. So I love that you brought that focus into the interview. I think that's really, really important, because the talent itself is wonderful, but if you're not grounded and you don't have a way to put it in context, it's just terrorizing.
It is. And also, it's debilitating. It makes you sick, and it makes you want to exit out of life.
It can.
And so I was really happy that he brought that out, the community. That wasn't going on, of course, but, you know, it's interesting because I do feel that energy is energy. Energy is energy. We're energy. Mm-hmm. Us beings are energy. Yeah, I know. We're 90% water, too, I get it. But still, energy is energy. And you can feel stuff, but it can be very, and it is nice to know, like, if whether I had the option of having that opportunity, which I didn't, it was the way it was supposed to be. But it is nice. If anybody is experiencing stuff, they're just like, wow. At least they can, and they do. You can just send your stories in. You just send email, and they'll listen mm-hmm. to you. Even if you don't think they're listening, you know, you're not calling them directly, they want to listen to you. So that's a real, and if anything's going on that you're feeling uncomfortable about, thank you, Nona, for bringing that up, because I think that's really important to have support. Well, thank you for bringing it up, because a lot of times we don't think about that, how important that is. And It is. In anything, we're especially in stuff we're doing, you know. Stephen, hello.
Hello.
So, yes. So how was your time with this interview with John? He was great, I know, but.
Oh, yeah, you definitely called that one. I was excited about it before. The topic is just, it's so compelling. You know, being able to do things with the mind, you know.
Well,
like make it to do physical work. You know, it's
if it's controlled, it's better though. And if you're consciously doing it, but
yeah, for sure,
our minds are unbelievable, aren't they?
They are definitely unbelievable. And the issue of control is an important one because I haven't yet decided for myself whether it's we humans who control the mind or the other way around. You know, to me, it really seems as if the mind is an entity all of its own, something aside from myself, you know.
I the more I've gotten to my daughter since she's been, you know, and she started her program in the summer in Colombia, it's amazing what I've been listening to from her, and they had, I mean, amazing stuff. It's just, I could do a show on that stuff that she's talking about, that because she's all science in her mind, but she, things that they're doing, and this is like tripping me out, and they're having special guests that are mediums, and then they're having physics, math, you know, professors of physics.
Right.
Everything is just so interesting. It blows me away just hearing some of the stuff she's doing, and it's still alarming to her. She's still trying to grasp. She's crossing. Oh, she is. She's colliding worlds. This is what she wants to do.
Well, neuroscience is itself a relatively new study. You know, so there's very much the spirit of a brave new world. You know, an exploration going on with neuroscience.
You know.
What interests me, though, you know, they say that we only use 10% of our brain. You know, I've always thought that that was not quite the truth. I don't really see a nature where Mother Nature creates something and then only uses 10% of it. But what I think is the truth is that a large portion of our brains are given over towards blotting out stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we remember everything, that every experience, everything we've ever learned is still with us in our subconscious, and if you know, I'm interested in those cerebral mechanisms that dampen out all of those memories so that we don't go literally insane. Now, what if instead of dampening out all of that extra neural power, what if we could control it somehow so that we could process all of that information, and you know, without blowing a mental circuit, that would be really interesting.
Well, you know, I feel that that's what, you know, it's like, well, Carl Jung used to talk about the collective unconsciousness, all of us, and that's what John was saying at the end, that they are doing things where we all can do that. We can actually bring ourselves together instead of short circuiting each other out, I guess, or jumping up and down like, you know, never mind. We can go off the deep end on that one.
Yeah, well, that's another thing too, though. You know, the connections between us, this invisible tissue, the collective unconscious, the thing that allows us to be psychics, you know, to penetrate the ego structures of other human beings and see their interior reality.
Yeah, and we all have that. I don't see this as a big old gift. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm gifted, I'm like God, but. But, yeah, Steve, I like what you're – go on. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say it's sort of like a vestigial organ, you know, like the appendix. It used to be – our appendix used to be an organ that did us good. Right, exactly.
Back in the day. But, you know, well, my daughter calls it the plastic. The brain is plastic, whatever it is. Okay, thank you. I'm glad
I
was just reading in there. Thank you. I'm really glad I didn't mess it up. I know about that appendix. I was just talking to someone about that stuff because they used to need that back in the thermometer.
Right. Well, what if our natural psychic ability was like that?
I feel it was, Steve.
You know, we don't want it to evolve off of our body. You know, we want to keep it.
That's right. Well, you know, we started, I can go into another thing. We all just, something came in and gave us another uppity, nicety, pretty DNA somewhere along the line because we started looking a lot different. still have our appendix, but come on, we started walking and faces look different.
Tell you what, Maureen, while you got me here, let me go ahead and just toss out the call-in number. That way I don't have to interrupt you when you get, because I know what Steve has to say. He's going to be very interrupted.
I'm sure he has much to say. I'm going to get to him.
Absolutely. So while I have the mic here, I'm just going to throw out the call-in number. That is 724-444-4851. Repeat, it is 724-444-4851. So when you call the number, you're going to be automatically placed on hold, and we'll answer your call in the order that it's received. So just relax, listen to the show while you wait. When you get on the air, we'd like you to make it one question, please. Very clear, very direct. One question per person. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Thanks, Maureen.
Also, just to add to that, not until around 9:15, is that correct, Stephen? And around?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. Is that? I don't know if I'm. I could be wrong. I'll be getting.
Yeah, we could have a few minutes on it. My clock here is a little fast.
So if somebody tries to call and can't get through, well, it's because it was not timing. Our phone line opens around, I guess. But Steve, hello, Steve. How are you? There you are. Unmute. I want to hear that English accent. Here, wait for it. Here comes Steve. Wait a minute. I can hear something going. Oh, wait. I'm on. Well, Steve, I'm just going to talk to you, and I'm just going to pretend I'm answering questions that I'm asking you in an English accent, but not like yours. In just a moment, I think right when I'll go to somebody else, he'll go, here I am. Okay. No, I can't. No, I cannot do. I cannot. So it's okay. Okay, then I'll just kind of. Steve says he's okay. He's just kind of on the other end. Nona?
Nona? Yes, ma'am. Nona, hello. Yes, ma'am. I'm signing. Can't you see it?
Yes, I can. you're so pleasant. I just, I want to tell everybody, you didn't bring this up. I want to say this. A lot of people don't know this about you, but you're a fantastic numerologist. Just saying. I'm sorry. Just had to say, I remember that one you did on me, and you were telling me everybody, never mind. It was, you're really good.
You didn't talk to me for like a year after. I'm kidding.
Oh, no, I did not. Oh, you're fine. That was good. You got me good. No, I did. You're really fantastic. And just, you didn't bring that up about what you, I think you're just, it was really great.
When people call in on that psychic access line, I don't like to go into numerology because it takes time, a little bit of time. And people are always running on the TikTok minutes. So numerology, I save that for private work when I have time to run a chart and do all that stuff. So
yeah, it must be. It's like astrology for the guys. You can't do a whole chart for someone in a reading time.
Yeah, and then when you do like a mini one, it's kind of a Reader's Digest version. And sometimes I don't think that's so helpful. So.
Yeah, but I did want to add that just because it stuck with me. I loved what you. Well, I did. No, it was intense. Well, sorry. I just want to say that. And also, I'm doing PK on you right now.
I feel it. My phone's vibrating.
Come on. You know, Steve, if you want to interrupt at any time, if you are able to do so, go for it.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there's that. Wait a minute. Or is it me talking?
I've had so many technical problems today, all day long. Computer, cell phone, cell phone.
It's that psychokinetic technical god stuff.
It's weird.
So, Steve, I'm glad to hear your lovely voice. I know you know how you know all about my PK stuff from a long time. I think I don't know. You were on when Sally was on. I'm not sure if you remember. If you were that.
Yes,
anyway,
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Show.
I remember. Yeah. You're very interested in the Ryan and stuff. So what do you have to take from anything? You know, I want to know PK stuff with you. Because that's the title. I kind of named it. Or, what do you think about that? Have you ever experienced, mine was uncontrolled, like I said. It wasn't like I wanted to experience. Did you have you ever had anything like that that wasn't related to maybe a ghostly
thing? No. All of my experiences have involved spirits. So we had a lot of poltergeist activity at home when I was a kid, a lot. And I've been lifted up by spirits. I've been levitated.
Right.
I've been thrown down a staircase. I've been punched in the face. But I haven't had any experiences in which I'm just sitting around doing what I'm doing and something starts moving.
But have you ever tried? Have you ever tried any of those exercises that? You know, because later on in my life, well, I did do some at UCLA. Actually, you know what, though? They have no record. UCLA took everything that we did, and this was from the 80s, and they have no, they threw it all away. I don't know.
Gosh.
Can you believe that? Ooh, foul play. Anyway, I was, have you ever, you know, because those are like, you know, actually, that is something that you can do for, you know, I need to get back into it. You're doing exercises. You know, we all have to keep ourselves going with what the work we do. Sometimes I forget about it. That's why I like doing the show or whatever, you know, because your mind, your, well, the mind's a muscle and you got to keep yourself up in shape, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's not like we're ever a master, and sometimes I forget, and it's like, so have you ever been interested in doing controlled things like that? Like, you know, our interests go, have you ever thought about, that'd be interesting to just see what your mind is capable of, because your mind and body, I always feel connected to each other, but I don't know, a lot of people, like I said, anybody that would want to do it, they can look at matchsticks or a pencil, matchsticks with stick kind of, little tiny ones, you know, not the long ones, real long ones, and if you stare at something, it's like almost like in a way, it helps keep your it's like doing a bunch of weight training on your brain, I think. You know, it is. But also, but Steve, in some ways, you might have had, whether you might feel, have you ever thought maybe something, it wasn't an entity moving something, it was actually you being able to get the message whatever way it was. Do you know, like, you know...
No, Maureen, not that I recall, because, as I said, all of my experiences with things moving or me being moved have been associated with spirit activity.
Right.
I would like to try. It's not something I've tried. You know, I'm very interested in psychokinesis. I'm very interested in Nina Kulagina and people like
right.
that.
Yeah. Well, Steve, have you ever... what about, like, what do you think about this? That we all have so much, we are energy. I mean, we are complete energy, energy, energy all over the place, right? Have you ever had any lights or your technical problems that go on?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that a lot.
So that is a form. So, like, I can't wear a watch either. For instance, I cannot wear a watch, for instance, for me.
I have a lot of problems with Apple products.
Oh, really? Well... It, you know, it's not, I'm not saying everybody, this is what you, I believe or anything, but I know for me, light bulbs go out. They will burst out. When I'm walking, lights will stop, go out in the street, you know, in those street lights. Things like that, that's a form of, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens. I mean, so any tech, I'm not saying because you're having technology problems tonight, but I think it's time for us to stop my talking, but I'm sure that you're a big old psychokinetic walking guy. I'm just kidding. It is one PKer. I know you're very interested in telekinesis. It's so similar, but I think you did a show on telekinesis. I think we have a reading coming up, and that's back to you, Stephen. There, I did it.
Oh, that's right. We do have a call for Steve from Florida.
Thank you. Who's calling from Florida? Florida, can you hear me? Who's calling from Florida? Okay, well, I'm not sure if you can't hear me or I can't hear you. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, and I.
Oh, okay. It's Florida,
Florida.
I don't think.
Yeah, I think you're doing just fine. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Do we have a caller from Florida?
Hi, no, this is not from Florida. Hello.
Hi. What's your name? Sorry.
My name is Ishka.
Ishka. Hi, Ishka. How can we help you?
I've called before, and it's. Spoke to some psychic access, but right now things that I was told is not going the way I thought they were supposed to be going. My question is about my well, now ex-boyfriend. I've called psychic support to ask if he's ever cheated on me, and it was always a no, no, no. And I came to find out when I came back home for summer break that he did indeed, he did cheat. And then he still lied about it. He still is lying about it. And then I got pregnant. And then
did you say your ex-boyfriend?
I mean, we just broke up and then he dumped me. But I think he's still with the girl. But I don't know what's going on, where this is coming from. Because from the other predictions, but from what I understood, there's nothing going on and we're going to be fine. So this is just like a blur to me.
But you're saying that you know for a fact that he did cheat.
Yeah, he admitted it because what happened was she slashed my mom's tires. She went to my mom's job and made a big scene, and then she even called his mom. And she sent me numerous photos. But the more I ignored, the more pissed she would get. So she really disrespected me. And then now I was like, okay, you know, after I got pregnant, I needed like emotional support because I had to do an abortion because I'm in college. And he wasn't there for me. He was not there at all for me. And then he dumped me. And I don't even know why, because he's saying that I'm such a bad person and I nag too much, but I only nag because you lie. So I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And then they're really together. Like, I'm not sure what's going on right now at all.
Well, Ishka, you know, let me. I know. I feel for you. I really do. And I know it's so upsetting when somebody is unfaithful. And this is not psychic. This is just good advice. The first thing you have to say is, well, if the person you were with was not faithful, then you don't want to be with them. Anyway,
right, but you would like my first and only boyfriend person for like 7 years. It was really hard for me to just move on. You know what I mean?
I know. But I do feel for you. But I'm just saying to you, you've got to say to yourself, with regard to this situation. First of all, you have to say to yourself, this boyfriend, this man, was not faithful to me. That is not acceptable to me, and therefore, I'm very clear that I would not want to be with him. And I'm very clear with myself that I'm glad that this relationship is over. Because you have to also step back and say to yourself, well, you could have spent your whole life with him and not known that he was this type of character. So he has a character flaw.
And of course, like, I spent so much money asking Vikings, and they're like, no, he's not doing anything, and
I can't speak for other psychics, and I haven't read for you psychically. I'm just saying to you, first of all, I know it's hard. I know dealing with emotional pain and knowing that somebody was unfaithful is hard to deal with, and it's going to take you time to get over that. It's going to take you time to build up your self-esteem. But you have to say, the first and most important point here is he is not somebody you want to be with or should be with, okay? The other thing you have to say to yourself, and I've been in the situation where a long-term partner was unfaithful, and at the time, I thought to myself, well, he's found someone better than me, or you know, there's some reason in me that he would do this. That's all nonsense. That's all absolute nonsense. And over time, as you heal, and as you strengthen your self-esteem, you realize that it wasn't about you. It was about the other person. It was about him. He has a character flaw. He's not a faithful person. And it's his weakness that caused that to happen. And it's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with you. Now, I honestly feel like you've got to just put that situation behind you. It's going to take you time to heal, but draw a line under the situation. You will meet a wonderful guy, not right now, in the future, probably 12 to 18 months away. And I feel that he's fairer skinned I feel as well that he's maybe not necessarily blonde, but I don't feel he's got dark hair. And I also feel that he may be a little bit younger than you. So I'm telling you this because the future's bright. You've got a lot to offer, and you're going to be happy. And I tell you this, when you find, and I tell you from experience, when you are with the person that you really want to be with, the person that is a really wonderful, loving, compatible match for you, you will look back without emotion and say, I'm glad that relationship in the past didn't work because I could still be in it. It wasn't right. My partner, my previous partner, wasn't faithful. And thank you, because if it wasn't for what you'd done, I wouldn't be here now in this wonderful relationship. That's what you will say, and you have to move forward knowing that you will be fine. I'm very drawn to the month of October. I'm not saying October this year, but in future, October will be a month you will celebrate, and you will see that in time. So I feel for you, and I'm sorry it's happened to you, but you have to find a way to extract value from what's happened. And one, the best way is to say, why did I tolerate this person for that period of time? What do I need to strengthen within myself so that I'm clearer about my value and clearer about my expectations of a partner in a relationship? You take that information forward and you create something far better. Okay?
What I wanted to know was, like, what exactly was going on with him, like, why he's treating me that way.
Because he's not a nice person. It's not about you. He's not a good person. A good person wouldn't treat somebody else like that. So you have to move forward.
I mean, is he in love with the girl, or...?
Does it matter? He's not a person you want to be with. You have to get to the stage where you realize all of this is irrelevant. You do not want to be with that person. So you've got to move forward and in some ways feel sorry for the person he's with now. All right?
Yeah.
And I wish you the best. You will be okay, I promise you. Move forward. Put it in the past. Don't start trying to find ways of, you know, imagining things that you did wrong or trying to find out about the other person. Leave it behind. They deserve each other. You move on. Okay? And I wish you the very best.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you very much. If you'd like a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller for Nona from California.
Can you guys hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, good. Okay. Caller here. Hello, California.
Oh, hi. Is this me?
Yeah, it's you. What's your name?
My name is Cicely.
Hi. How can I help you?
Well, I kind of wanted to put out a question for anybody who feels any particular feeling. I have been waiting for a while for someone from my past to contact me, and I've gotten different responses. Some of them are very enthusiastic, oh, it'll be next week, and some people are saying, well, it'll be farther and farther away. Some people I talk to will say, oh, it's the fall, oh, it's the winter. I just wonder when this is actually going to happen, if anybody has any feelings about this.
And what's the name of this person you're waiting for to call? First
Eric.
Name. Sorry?
Eric.
Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Well, honestly, the reason it feels squirrely to me, and I think you're getting a lot of different answers for a reason, which is it feels to me like he is in the middle of a domestic squabble of some kind, whether he's actually married or in a marriage-like relationship that's going in and out of, should we stay together? Should we break up? Should we try again? All of that. So I think the dates are flipping around because of that. And I would say to you that even with contact coming, It feels to me like it's like true contact, not just texting and hello, but like actually sort of reuniting a little bit is not until October. But I would say to you, proceed with caution. This is not a person.
Really?
Even if this person says he is available, he will think he's available, but he needs a cooling off period for what he's going through. So I say enter with caution because he's going to think he's okay. He's going to mean everything he says, but he is not going to be really in touch with his feelings and what's going on. So he's going to end up kind of doing a 180 on you at some point and could break your heart if you just go ahead like everything's okay. So in other words, you know how sometimes people say, oh, I'm really okay and everything's fine. And you know it's not. So in his case, I'm telling you, he's not going to be stable. He's not going to be really clear about what he's feeling. So it won't be like he's lying to you. He's going to believe everything he tells you. The person he's lying to is himself. He has a lot of loose ends to tie up, and he needs to get stabilized. And what he's going to want to do is use you, not in a bad way, but and not in a conscious way, but to use you to help get stabilized. And that's not a good way to start a relationship. That is, kind of like a, not even an act of desperation, but it's a little bit of blind reaching out for some kind of support. And that's what he will be doing. So I would say to you, proceed with caution. Be very observant. Your intuition is extraordinarily good. Sadly, you're very smart. And sometimes you use your smarts to talk yourself out of your intuition. That's why I said, sadly, you're very smart. Because in this case, sometimes you use your mind to justify away some of the things that you have picked up.
Now, am I feeling his flip-flop? When I feel like, oh, I feel like he's close to calling, and then he withdraws. Am I perceiving that? Because I think I do have these feelings.
And there's sometimes he is like so connected to you, and then the next second he's being pulled in another direction. And like I said, even though when he comes to you, he's going to say, you know, I'm ready. I want to move forward. And he's going to mean it, and he's going to think it's true, but it's not going to be true. So, and again, this is not malicious, it's not malevolent, and it's not conscious. It's just him being mistaken about his own condition and his own emotions. So proceed with caution. That doesn't mean you have to avoid the whole thing. It just means don't blow it up into something more than it is. Take the attitude of let's see, let's give it, 2 to 3 months to see what happened, and trust your perceptions, your energy of your talent for picking up his energy is excellent. Don't doubt it. Do not doubt it. No matter what his words say, trust your perceptions more, because they're going to be more real than his emotional flip-flopping that's going on. Ultimately, I think he's going to be such a pain in the butt to you with this kind of flip-flopping that's going on. I think that you will tire of it rather quickly, within about 6 months. I will say to you also, though, that there is another relationship coming after this that would not be permanent. And then after that, there's some changes that you have to go through yourself. And these two encounters with him and the one after this will change you in very important ways that will make you more open to the relationship, a relationship that will be good for you. Sometimes it's like our taste buds are set for chocolate instead of organic vegetables. And so we go, I want chocolate, I want chocolate. And the universe is like, no, eat your vegetables. And we're like, no, I'm not eating my vegetables. So then we have to go through these lessons that suddenly want the vegetables because the chocolate's making us sick. Does that make sense?
Total sense.
Yeah, I hate it.
Thank
I hate
you.
When it's like that. You know, it's like, I want my chocolate because, you know, I'm a screaming three-year-old myself. But but you're getting ready for
but
vegetables.
Sometimes you're presented with another option that maybe you never considered before, and it's the right option for the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So you're in fine shape, and again, this is why, you know, when you're calling different psychics and getting different time zones, depending on what they're picking up, it's like, oh, yeah, today he's going to call in 2 weeks, and then flip-flop, no, he's going to call in 6 months. So it's enough to make it crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Is
I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling. If you'd like to book a reading with Nona, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Florida. Hello, Florida. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. This is Lashandra.
Hi, Lashandra. How may I help you?
I was calling because I am trying to move back to Texas. So I've had like several, maybe like two jobs reach out to me, and then I'm trying to transfer the job where I am currently. But I'm having a hard time with getting the people where I am now to cooperate.
Okay.
I plan to go there before I actually move because I have an interview on July the 28th. I have to go there for an interview. So I think that I'm going to stay like for a week, maybe 5 days, just to, try to get things together. So I'm just trying to see basically about the employment. How would that work out for me?
Okay. All right. So you're mainly concerned about how the interview is going to go when you go to Texas on the 28th, right?
And not only that, because they told me that their job is seasonal. So I really would love to transfer my job where I'm currently working to the branch in Dallas.
So that's what you're really curious about. That's what you want to know about, being able to transfer the job you have now. That's what you'd like to happen in an ideal, perfect world, right? Right. Okay. Well, let's see if that's going to happen.
Okay.
What do we need to know about her being able to transfer her job? A second here. Well, judging from what I see here, I'd say your chances of getting that transfer are good in the long run. I think what's needed here is some tenacity and some patience. There might be times when you feel like it's not going to happen. However, I'm convinced that this will be sort of a situation where the darkest hour will be right before the dawn. In other words, right when you think that it's not going to happen, you'll see that it does happen. And in fact, I see that ultimately you will get that transfer to Texas. I really do believe that.
I have to move by September.
You've got to move by September?
Well, I'm trying to move by September.
Yeah, I think as far as the timeline on this, I'm willing to say autumn, you probably will be settled in there. Now, as far as September, like on the actual date, to pinpoint the date that you're going to move, I'm more comfortable saying autumn. Do you see what I mean? So, are you going to get there by your timeline? Probably. I mean, what I pick up on most of all is a sense of emotional satisfaction and completion. And sort of even easiness as well. Almost like, the number three, it's a very lucky number. It's almost like a number of effortless, things happening effortlessly. So, I'm picking up sort of on the emotional picture that you're going to be having in the coming days. So that right there to me is fairly positive testimony that, yeah, you're going to get in there on a timeline that is harmonious to you. Do you see?
Okay.
So, you're going to be in a pretty extravagant, friendly mood here by the time this process is over with. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's a good prognosis for you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And sure thing, LaShondra. We wish you all the best, and thank you very much for calling. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Well, do we have any other callers? I'm sorry. I haven't been monitoring any more calls coming through the transom, guys. Well, we have a caller from Massachusetts for Maureen. That's right.
And here I am. Hello, Massachusetts. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you, Maureen. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. May I have your name, please?
Dean? Steve.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going deaf. How are you this evening, and what can I help you with?
I need to know, do you see anything good coming towards me within the next 12 months?
Okay, can you Because I have a time restraint of not a lot of time. So is there anything that is on your mind that you could directly ask me about? Like, because I could pick up so much and I wouldn't be able to, you know, it would be to your best interest if there's one thing. Like, do I see something good in relationship or business or health or, well, health is, you know what I mean? Is there something you can ask me directly about?
Do you see anything good coming towards me in relationship?
In what? I'm sorry, did you say relationship?
Yes.
Okay, that's very helpful. In the next, up to the, you're talking about in the 2014 year. Okay, I do feel, I'm seeing, that you've been going through, in relationship-wise, it's been all about useful sacrifice. And I've spoken about this before when I see it. It's like being nailed to the cross, but you get resurrection. However, there looks like there's some other male energy around. Oh, I'm going to ask you something. Is there a female that's been on your mind that you were thinking about?
No.
Really? Nobody whatsoever in your past? Think. Because I'm thinking, I'm seeing something otherwise.
Well, I have an ex-wife.
Okay. All right. Is she okay? The reason why I'm saying this is because it looks like I'm seeing there's a male energy that looks like he's bailed out of his commitment. I see a woman that in this in the next couple or few months block of time, but I see a woman being able to sleep. Are you and your ex? Okay, I'm just gonna have to ask you this. Did you and your ex-wife part ways because of financial or something going on, you know, stuff that was going on like that, and so you didn't put much work into it? Would you have?
No, we part ways because she was flirting with other men. I didn't like it.
Okay. The thing of it is, I'm just getting that there's still something going on there, or that you have on your mind. And are you open to? Because what I'm getting is, I feel that you're a great guy when it comes to, like I said, useful sacrifice. You're willing to die, not really, you know, literally, but and resurrect. So you'll go through extreme pains. But I also feel that I do see that it looks like you're not going to be working, or you're exhausted, you're working too hard. But then I see you taking a short trip in within 6 weeks, and I see a lot of fairness surrounding you. And then, okay, there's another woman here, but I do see your ex-wife, but I do see another woman, but it looks like you're not going to be feeling like you're getting good news. You won't be able to see her, and I feel you know of her, and her eyes are fascinating. They're like really vision. Her eyes look lighter, like they have a bluish green to them, and she loves the water, and she stares, and she's full of vision, and she's a really beautiful woman inside and out. And I, like I said, I feel you know of her, but it's almost like I see you, like you know of her from a while ago. She might be someone your wife even knew, but she's on your mind, and I feel that you're good friends. So there, I do see a really good opportunity, but I also feel that you think it's going to be negative, and I feel that that's coming from some past baggage. But I see this to be very fair and just. So what I'm trying to say to you is I'm encouraging you to be open to something really positive. You have several different women. Oh, my gosh. You've got so many different women around you. It's ridiculous. You have a lot of different women around you that, I mean, the energies, but this one person who's really emotionally, who loves the water, everything about water. I see another woman. She's lighter looking. The other woman's dark. I see your ex-wife. Another woman's dark, but she's raging mad. She's just like warlike. I feel you need to open up to the more sensitive one, and it's going to feel interesting, okay? But you have a lot of opportunity here. Choose right. Choose the right. Choose the healthier one. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, really, choose a healthier one. You know what that will mean when you get to that. I see this within a 6-week, 2-month period block of time. Okay? So there's something interesting. So bless your heart. You deserve to be with a good person. And I hope I helped you. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Have a good night. I'll say hi to Steve.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. If you'd like a reading with Maureen, please contact her at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Florida for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Florida?
Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well also, thank you, Lisa. How can we help you? How can we help you, Lisa? Can you hear me? Oh, I think we're having a Florida connection problem this evening. Can you hear me there, Lisa? No? I think we've lost her, Stephen.
Yeah, I think we may have. But we're trying to get her back, though, I do believe.
Okay. Let's see. Can you hear me now, Lisa? We're trying to get you back, Lisa. We won't give up.
Okay, I think we may have another Florida caller in the queue. Let's see if the other Florida caller is there.
Okay, who's calling from Florida?
Yeah, hi, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing and how can we help you?
I wanted to know about my finances, what you feel are coming up for that.
Let me see, finances. I feel that your finances are going to do well in the longer term, but I don't feel as though the situation fixes itself straight away. I don't feel that you're going to be, you know, making a fortune or as much as you would like in the near term. So I feel that you're on the right track, though. I do feel that you've got a good focus, that you're doing the right things. I'm very drawn out to the middle of fall. I'm drawn towards end of October, I would say, beginning of November. That's when I would see you improving your finances steadily from that point. But I feel also very confident that you are well positioned and that you've got good skills, good attitude, and there's nothing to stop you from doing well in the longer term, Lisa. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I know you. If you look back, your finances have been a lot worse than they have been recently. So you're not in terrible shape. You're okay. And you're very practical, very much able to make this happen. Just don't expect miracles in the next couple of months. Give it a few months. Okay? Mm-hmm. We wish you lots of luck, Lisa.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. If you would like a reading from Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Now, we have a caller from Virginia for Nona.
Hello, Virginia. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, what is your name?
Hi, this is Dee. How are you?
Dee?
Yes.
Okay, hi. What can I do for you?
I am calling in to find out. I am presently employed. However, I am looking to change career. Just calling to see exactly what you're picking up.
So, okay, and are you currently working with people as part of your career, like service types?
Yeah.
And so it does feel to me like you're a little bit burnt out on that, and there's a move coming in for you that would be more, I want to say something more like still with people, but more on the business side, sort of like an office manager or even training for a financial advisor or something to do with insurance. In other words, helping people, but on a less psychologically draining area. Does that make sense?
Yes and no, because actually that's where I am trying to go. What I'm doing now, I'm in the corporate world, and I'm trying mm-hmm. to go to switch that to where I can be of service on a more psychological level, if that makes
sense. Yeah. Honestly, it feels to me like
you're going to stick. It doesn't feel to me like more psychological in the sense that you will be of service to people. But honestly, it does not feel to me like you're headed into something really, really of service, like, say, counseling or nursing or something like that. As much as you want to help people, it feels to me like you have a lot of people in your life or around you that kind of lean on you and depend on you already.
Yes, that's true.
If you were to add that to your career, I think we would have to put you in the hospital in about 2 months. I'm kidding, but you know what I mean?
Okay.
You're a very giving person, and you have a lot to offer people. And I think you do that so much in life that the universe is kind of protecting you by keeping you in a service job that will not be so draining. So it does feel to me like you are not going to stay in corporate, but the kind of contact you have with people and the service you will be to them will be around topics that are not so draining, such as finances, insurance, estate planning, something like that. Something where you can really help people in a concrete manner, but not something like where you're helping them deal with an aging grandmother who's going to die. That is just too exhausting for you.
Okay.
Does that make, yeah? And I would add to that also, you have kind of lost the talent for play.
What do you mean by that?
Huh?
What do you mean by that? I'm sorry.
That you're not so good at having fun in your life anymore.
Yeah, because I think my focus has changed, so I think I'm more focused on where I'm trying to go, if that makes sense.
I got it. So I think that you need to keep a balance in your life, and that's why you're not going to be going into a field that's going to heavily drain you. You need to have a work and play balance, and sometimes you get out of balance in those two areas. You do one or the other, and it needs to be a little bit better integrated. So I would say to you, the move that's coming for you in your career will take you more into service, less corporate, but not as much into service as you're imagining.
Okay.
Make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I would say also with that, look into doing some things that have meaning for you in your personal life so that you can be of service that way without it having to be your job, but instead it's something that can come from the heart and you can enjoy it. So add.
Are you talking about volunteering? Because that's something that I have on my agenda to do.
There you go. Perfect. And don't forget to have fun, because fun supports our immune system and it supports good brain chemistry, and it keeps us balanced. We're on Earth for two reasons: to learn and have fun. To do both. Fun is really important. And I don't mean going out and getting drunk and throwing up. To me, that's not fun. Fun is something really healthy that brings a lot of joy and contentment and elevates us. So don't deny yourself that. It's a good thing for you. All right?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can find Nona at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, who am I speaking with in Ohio?
Yes, hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How may I help you this evening?
Well, I want to see, do you see me coming here in October? I'll be moving, or I'll be able to stay where I'm living at now.
Okay, will she be moving in October? Will Sherry be moving in October? 1 second while I pick up on that question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, judging from what I see here, it looks like you'll be staying where you're at now, Sherry, unfortunately. It doesn't look like you're going to be able to move in October the way things are going now. However, you know, perhaps you can get some help from a family member, or, there could be ways that you could, generate the ability to move, but just, given the way that things are rolling now, it looks like you're going to be where you're at. You're going to stay put, by October. I'm not saying that you're not going to eventually move, but it looks to me here that the way things are going is that you might miss your hit date.
You know what I mean? You might have to extend your timeline a little bit. So you might have to exercise some patience and wait for this thing to happen. But ultimately, I'm pretty convinced that it will because of the presence of Trump 3, which is the Empress, which is a very powerful symbol of domestic matters and domestic health. You know, having a home, and by home, I mean a cozy nest for yourself. OK, so it looks like things are going to work out good for you, but you might have to wait, Sherry. OK.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you calling, and we hope you have a nice evening, okay?
Yeah, and thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Quite welcome.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay. Well, I think we have a caller for Maureen from Ohio.
Oh, Ohio. This is Maureen. Hello. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
Julie?
Hi there, and what can I help you with?
Yeah, I wanted to know about my love life.
Okay, because of the time restraint I have on these calls, could you be more direct so I can help you better? Like one direct question?
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I'm single right now, and I just want to know, when you feel like I'll be meeting someone or if you see anyone around me.
Okay, so you may have someone around you, so I need to get this out in the open now because I just want to give you the best reading I can for the time I have available. Is there somebody on your mind, like you're thinking about, like someone that you kind of still not completed things with? Because if so, that will really help me because I know what you just said about, someone else, but I just get a feeling there's someone else around you that you're thinking about. Is that so? Yes?
Yeah, but I just feel like we're not going to.
Well, I know in the perfect world, it'd be nice if they could just go. I guess it just doesn't happen like that. But it looks like there's been some really negative judgment around coming from other people. Whatever this relationship of, it's funny. It's not funny. I don't see the person, but it looks like you don't get much support anywhere. You just don't get support around your work. You're not getting support in the fact that you've done this transformation. It was a slow change. I see your sleep getting better, but I do feel that you've kind of outgrown a relationship with this is interesting, very interesting to me, because I feel that you've outgrown, and does this make sense to you? You've outgrown the relationship that you've been in for a while. And because of the lack of support that I feel sometimes is important to more people than some, you've never gotten that. Not even from, who are you with here? Who is this? I don't see him, like I said, but it does feel like you're going to start feeling much better in the weeks ahead. I see you getting, your sleep is going to be much better. And I feel that your batteries are recharged. I also feel that there's still a lot of anger about something that was never resolved, but it may never not be resolved. But I feel that you're almost like, I see you alone by choice. It's not that I don't think that anybody's going to approach you, but there's a little bit of anger. Do you follow? Okay, the thing of it is, I just don't feel it's time yet, but I do feel after November, you look... there's so much success around you. By the springtime 2015, I feel that there's a great opportunity in a relationship with a man that looks like he's a man. He's not a boy. He's a man. He's a man. And he's down to earth, and it's going to be completely different. So if whatever's separating you from whatever's going on, I feel that you have some things to be angry about, but I see you really thriving. So as far as you asking me about, is there any relationship, I feel that you could be opened up to anybody, but I feel that it would be to your best interest, or I encourage you to carry on, because it's almost like seeing how strong you are, or where you're heading, and you're the strength. I see you being in a really great, healthy relationship, that one that you're as deserving. It's like you've gone through a lot of the work, and it's still in the work, but I see a lot of success in every parts of your life, too, every which way. Bless your heart. It's hard, but you've grown apart. You've grown. You're moving on.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You'll get a good relationship. A good relationship. You'll see it when it's – and it won't be that You don't need to worry about it now. I guess is what I'm encouraging you to try not to worry about it. Yeah. Okay. I hope I helped you.
Yeah, the thing I struggle with him is that he doesn't even call me or communicate with me at all. Like, he's just, like, leaves me for months on end, and I know that he has feelings for me. It makes me angry. Makes me really angry.
No, it's not about him anymore. It's about what you deserve. He has work to do, and maybe he needs to be with this is not your journey, his stuff. And it brought you, I could see, down for the count. It's a blessing, and maybe the man I'm seeing, like, coming about later, maybe it'll be him, that maybe that's him being, he needs to go in his own way's journey. You can't go down with this, okay? So what I guess I'm trying to say is, it's not because he doesn't care about you or love you, but you aren't on the surf to hang in there while someone's going through a lot of their stuff, because it just broke you down, and you weren't. I see you getting stronger individually, and that's the important thing. And if you'd step out of the way, and if he, whatever you think he's doing, it's not because of you, it's his own stuff. And I feel that that's what you'll deserve better. And that's what will make, if anything changes, until you are on doing your thing and detaching. So I know it's hard. It's easy for me to say. I'm encouraging you to look at this as a blessing. He needs to get his own self sorted out. You have sorted yourself out. He'll be fine.
So you're saying it's somebody else or it's him?
No, I'm not sure who this is. It may be, I'm saying I do see a man here, but I'm not saying it may be a better, maybe it's him that's more, it's a new person that's a better person or whatever. Whoever I'm seeing is very positive. It looks like the springtime of 2015. But if it is him, you're going to have to detach from him. I just see you being alone and angry, but right now you can't be. This is about your time of being. I know solitude is a hard thing. Solitude. You're angry, but solitude is the best thing. I feel, and now I could be wrong,
doesn't he?
Okay.
He knows I feel angry. I have a feeling he knows.
Yeah, probably. But it's not about him. It's about your journey, okay? I hope I helped you, and I need to end this call now. I'm sorry, but bless your heart. Thank you. Okay. Good night.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we've reached the end of our show here. We can't take any more calls, lamentably enough. But you can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com if you need a reading from her. As I said, this brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. We would like to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes to keep us on track. And we would also, I'd also like to thank my co-hosts, Steve, Maureen. And next week, you have a guest for us next week, don't you? Yeah.
Me next week. I have a guest. I just had my guest in. I'm sorry.
No. I think Nona's show is next week. I think she's having some sound issues. So the technological gremlins got us again.
God.
But we did manage to survive, though, and it was an excellent show. Thank you very much, Maureen, for that wonderful expose on psychokinesis. We definitely enjoyed it. And we'll see everyone next week.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.